just like the song you listened to by Ariana Grande. Some people believe that women have a special place in God's heart, you know. So, and for her, in that song, she believes that God is a woman. I don't know. Probably when we get to heaven, we'll find out if God is a woman or he's a man. Okay, now, women in the world are the backbone of a society and very important human resource. They play significant and crucial roles in household activities, allied operations, and contribute to the general well-being of their communities. Am I interested to know that the United Nations reports that women are almost half of the adult population? Striving to improve the quality of family and societal life, they are often confronted with patriarchy, a system, of course, that devalues, violates, exploits, and marginalizes women and girls. Now, worst affected are women and girls with disabilities. 1 billion, or 15% of the world population, experience some form of disability, of which half are women and girls. And due to their gender, disability, and various identities, women and girls with disabilities often experience multiple and intersecting forms of violence, discrimination, and exclusion. I'll stop there, and then I'll introduce my guest today from Policy Alert on Sharing Life Issues, the Tuesday edition. We're taking a twist, right? Okay, we have Dr. Mrs. Josephine Effa Chukwuma. She is a founder, director of Project Alert on Violence Against Women. Many thanks for joining us and welcome.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
And we also have Joy Ubong. She is the local government secretary, Joint National Association of Persons with Disabilities. Good to have you on the program. Good. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I will start with Dr. Mrs. Josephine. You're here in New York presently. You had a stakeholders meeting today.
Yes, we did.
Particularly with the legislatures.
Yeah.
Now, firstly, before we go into the discourse of the reason why you're here in Akwa Ibom, I would assume that a lot of people understand what gender-based violence is all about. Quickly, in just 30 seconds, can you just break it down?
Yeah, thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here today. When we're talking about sexual and gender-based violence, we are basically talking about actions that discriminate, that violate the rights of women and young girls, even threats of such actions, which include, it could be physical in nature, which could be sexual in nature, it could be harmful traditional practices as carried out in some in some of our cultural and traditional societies and all of that. So when you're talking about violence against women, you're talking about acts that could harm, or even the threat of such actions, you know, that are meted out on one gender by the other gender. And when you talk of gender, of course, it's about relationship between the sexes. But we also know that the female gender is often the one at the receiving end when we're talking about discrimination, when you're talking about violent acts, abuse, on level playing field and all of that. So it's basically those actions, you know, or threat of such actions that are meted out against women and young girls.
Now, Project Alert actually focuses on violence against women
and girls. Yeah.
Now, sexual gender-based violence since 1999.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, but lately you've incorporated addressing the challenges of women with disabilities into this particular movement. What informed this latest development?
Women's rights are the rights of women with disabilities, because they are first women, they are first girl before the disability. One thing a lot of people don't know is that a lot of persons with disability, even men, we are not born with this disability. If you carry out a study like we did and you talk to women and men with disability, almost 80% of them were not born with a disability. They acquired it in this journey of life. Accident, medical reasons, whatever, you know. So you put the gender before the disability. So for us, Project Alert on Violence Against Women, of course, women with disability, they are women. You know, so for some time, we did not really program to include them. But when we realized that that was a mistake, we decided that, look, and this was in 2017, we said no.
So initially it was just with women?
No, but that,
you now had to incorporate.
No, but that doesn't mean that we didn't have cases, because one thing Project Alert does, we receive cases, we take up cases for abused women.
Okay.
You know, in court and all of that. And amongst this, we've had
even
women
in marriage?
Of course.
Okay.
A lot of abuse happens in marriage. Wife battering, neglect and abandonment, you know, and all of that. So we've had women, we've dealt with women with disability, but we never made that conscious, deliberate, intentional programming. Do you understand? So if we had one-on-one cases coming in to report, we respond. You know, we've had cases of women who come in a wheelchair, how their husbands are maltreating them, you know, and all of that. Children with disabilities being locked inside the houses because families are ashamed of them. We had cases and we had to come in. And then we sat down one day and we said, no, we can't just be dealing with these cases one, you know, like...
In isolation.
There's a system. There's something that is causing this. You know, we need to look at it holistically, this group. And that was when we decided that, look, we needed to start our gender-based violence and women with disability project.
Let me come to Joy Obong. You are the local government secretary of Joint National Associations of Persons with Disabilities.
Yes.
Let's talk about, you know, the journey so far and what policy Project Alert is doing, okay, and how it connects to your association.
Okay. Thank you very much. Talking about the journey so far, you know, it's always interesting when you've identified yourself in maybe church or society as a man, a woman, one thing or the other. So that also goes to the disability community. Persons with disability have found the need to identify themselves too, and as such we have the organization Joint Association of Persons with Disability. So in regards to what Madam Josephine has just said, yes, issues hovering around persons with disability, it's something that should bother everyone. It shouldn't just be particular about persons with disability, and that is why she has found the need to look into that mirror and then also address issues regarding that, to also extend the hand of fellowship and say, okay, we felt your pains, let's do this together. You know, if the society could also think in that light, it will go a whole long way to address lots of challenges and issues hovering around persons with disability. So it's a thing of joy to see that some other person out there, aside a person with disabilities, also seeing the need to come in, to have the synchrony, come and say, okay, fine, I see what you guys pass through. Let me also lean a shoulder. Let's bust this together. Let's talk about this together. Let's create the awareness. So on that, it's a big thumbs up.
Okay, Doc, you're presently in New York and you're having a stakeholders meeting. Today's the first day.
Today was the first day. We continue tomorrow.
Now, particularly with the legislators, there are two bills. You know, we talked off mic. We looked at the disability bill.
Yeah.
Also talked about the VAP bill. That's the Violence Against Person Prohibition Law.
Yeah.
It's been passed. And we're still awaiting. Of course, implementation is always an issue.
Yep.
We have a lot of bills out there, but some have been assented to by the executive.
Mm-hmm.
But implementation is the issue. Now, let's look at your engagement with the legislatures today, day one.
Yeah.
What was it all about?
Thank you very much. This is a 2 days residential retreat workshop with legislators. You know, when we came, Project Alert first came into Akwa Ibom in 2019, Akwa Ibom and Cross River State, you know, in 2019. When we came in then, we came to conduct a research to really hear from women with disability their stories. It's one thing you sitting down in your comfort zone and assuming you know everything. Mm. It's another thing coming and hearing from those who are wearing the shoes and are walking
that road. They know how it pinches them.
They know how it pinches them. They can tell their story better than you. I always tell people, don't want to tell someone else's story. Let the person tell her story. Mm. You know, so we came in and we went around the three senatorial zones, spoke to a total of 100 and something women with disability, and we found out that most of them were not over the ages of 37, showing you that a lot of women with disability are young women, including children and all of that. And then one of the things that came out very clearly then was that there are no laws, no law, nothing protecting them. So that they are violated, they are raped, they are battered, you know, make to feel as if, look, and we are even doing you a favor in marrying you, you know. If you are raped, it means he even finds you attractive. You should are you calling it rape? You should be thanking God that he even had anything to do with you, you know, and all of those things. We found all those stories and we said, no, there was no. So when we were able to put that together and we came up with this, with a publication titled Gender-Based Violence and Women with Disabilities, we now, you know, started advocacy visits to the legislators, to the executive arm, and all of that, sharing this publication with them. And, you know, and we got talking with the speaker, the deputy speaker. Who is still the deputy speaker? Yes, Felicia Bassi. Mm. And she at that time, the VAP law too was not there.
Mm.
So she said that she was working. I met a very passionate woman in 2019, you know, and that passion today, we could still see it today. And she said, I am working on those two, that the disability bill, we have even passed it, is waiting for the accent of the governor.
Mm.
The VAP one, we are still working on it. Boom, last year, they passed the VAP in July, August, and the governor accented to that. Very beautiful news, good news. What about the disability bill?
Mm.
We are still waiting for that.
Okay, for assent.
For assent.
But it's been passed.
Okay. So that's why we came this time and said, okay, we need to engage the legislators here now. Consciously, deliberately, and intentional. What is the problem? Okay, now the VAP has been passed. Good news. Thank you very much. But beyond passing is the first step.
That's right.
The next step is implementation. And implementation can only happen with sensitization.
Mm. Advocacy.
And making sure that the provisions, whatever are the provisions put in the law, structures that need to be put in place.
Because you need to work with the security agencies also.
Thank you very much.
And other relevant stakeholders.
Thank you very much. So the discussion today on the VAP law with the legislators was, what is the plan with your constituencies?
Mm.
Your constituency, you're all from different constituencies, aren't you? You know, they said yes. Is it enough? I mean, is not enough for you? Yeah, you've passed the law, the bill, the governor has accented to it, but you need to now make the law work for the people. So we started the discussions on that.
Can't work for the people if the people are not aware.
It cannot work for the people if the people are not aware.
Mm.
So sensitization, you know, one of the things we're trying to develop within these 2 days, today and tomorrow, is strategies for implementation. We started discussions today. And then on the disability, and that is very important because women with disability are also women. And the violence against persons law covers women to a very large extent.
Mm.
Because the beauty of that law is that it has expanded the definition of rape. Rape is not only vaginal penetration with the penis. It is the penetration of any orifice, the nose, the anus, the mouth. So if you penetrate any part of the human body with anything, not just the penis, you use a biro, you use a bottle, anything you use to forcefully...
Okay, this is contained in the law.
In the VAP law, yes, beautiful. Honestly, one of the things we're discussing is that, look, we need to popularize that law. It needs to be popularized, and for it to be popularized, it needs to be simplified in English, in Ibibio, Anang, Oron. Do you understand?
Mm.
So those are some of the things we are discussing. How to saturate, how to really popularize that law. That's the VAP. Then you come to the disability bill.
Bill.
You know, that has been passed. The House of Assembly, they've done their own. But we are telling the legislators, we have five of them there today. Beautiful, they're starting through, I must commend them today. They're starting from 9 o'clock till 2:33 when we finished today. And the discussion was, how do we get our governor, the governor of Akwa Ibom State, to accent, just to put his signature on it. Because once he puts his signature on it, it becomes law. And then we can run with it. So we are discussing with the legislators that we need them, you know, we need them to put some pressure. We know our governor would. I mean, he's a governor who always looks for, you know, ways of improving the lot of Akwa Ibomites. Now, this is a lot of persons with disability. Persons with disability are a major population in this state, just like in other states. Mm. Their rights, their welfare cannot be ignored. And more so, women with disability, because women with disability suffer more than men with disability at different levels.
Talking about advocacy, were there propositions as to the channels of advocacy and spreading the news, publicity, as it were? Mm. Were there propositions?
Yes, we are continuing the discussion tomorrow. Like I said, we started today. Mm. We are continuing tomorrow. It's really part of what we are here to do, to actually tease out, dot the I's and cross the T's in terms of spreading. How do we go about this advocacy? You know, in various ways. It's not just, I mean, it's not radio is one, but what about town hall? Mm. What about community gatherings? What about, you know, the churches, faith-based organizations?
Even jingles.
Jingles and all of that. But it's not just about the city. Also, going to the interlands, getting to them, you know, speaking in a language that they would understand. Mm. You know, this, you don't let people know that, look, this is it, this is that. Because the first step towards implementing the law is first getting people to know about the law. Not just the people, the next set of people are the law enforcement agencies themselves. Mm. They need to be sensitized on the law, on the content of the law. Because this is, I mean, they are there. They are the ones that are supposed to enforce this law. If they don't know...
Once there's a defaulter.
Yes, once there's... If they don't know the law exists or the provisions of the law, how can they do that? Then, of course, the judiciary also needs to know. The magistrates, the judges, so that when a case is brought before them and a lawyer is saying, according to...
Section this
VAP law,
or
section this of this, the judge and magistrate will not say, which law is that? What are you talking about? I don't understand you. You know? So those are the things we're talking about.
Now, a study was done by Project Alert, and it shows that over 90% of women in Akwa Ibom state, precisely living with disabilities, have either been abused or have experienced violence.
Yeah.
Do you have strategies that probably you're putting in place to tackle this menace?
This
90% is a high A.
Yes, 90% of the disability community. And the disability community itself is huge in Akwa Ibom state. So 90%, like you said, is a high A. And it starts with this law. That's what we are talking about. It starts with this law that we want the governor to accent to. That's the starting point. Because if you want to go, I mean, you need to be, unfortunately, Nigerians, you know, we are people that if you don't say the law forbids this, people, a lot of people will not listen to you. You know, so we need that law in place that talks about zero tolerance for violence, provides for remedies, you know, and all of that. You know, if you violate anybody, this is the penalty, So that is the starting point for the disability law. So we talk about non-discrimination.
Okay.
Because that bill that we're waiting for the governor to accept also even talks about employment for persons with disability. That certain percentage should be made, you know, should be kept for persons with disability. They are brilliant, educated persons with disability, women and men. You know, you don't, because on the occasion of their disability, deny them their rights. You know, they can't access places because of staircases and all of that. So it means once you don't put in place these things, it means you don't want them automatically. It means you have left out this population.
The idea for your organization, talking about Project Alert, do you have physical offices? You said you attend to cases.
We have views. We have physical office in Lagos.
Okay.
That's where we're based. But one thing we do is that we do partnership projects with organizations in various states, because we strongly believe that we don't have to carry ourselves and go spread ourselves thin you know, by going to open office everywhere, we can partner with groups on ground in those states and also help them build their capacity.
Do you have any in Akwa Ibom?
Yes, we are partnering with FIDA, for example, like this project we are doing with FIDA. You know, and then there are other organizations too that are, I mean, including disability organizations like Jonapid. We partner with Jonapid,
okay.
You know, because we also want them to build their capacity. It's not about giving people fish, but also teaching people how to fish.
So talking about capacity, going beyond, you know, the VAP law and of course the disability bill, which of course you are having a stakeholder meeting with legislature.
Yes.
That okay, this one has been passed. We need to look for a way to implement it.
Yes.
The other, you know, we need the government.
We need you to put pressure on the police to accent to it.
Going beyond that, looking at the community, the disability community, particularly that of women.
Yeah.
Do you have capacity building mechanism, or do you have an arrangement, a program, maybe quarterly, that you do to empower them?
It depends on what you mean by. You see, for me, empowerment is not just every time gathering people and giving money. Like I said earlier on, as an organization and even as a person, I always tell people I want to teach you how to fish.
Okay, so let's talk about teaching them how to fish.
Teaching them how to fish is teaching them to fight for their rights.
Okay.
Starting. The government, no government, no people, not me, not you. You are not doing any woman or a girl or a person with disability any favor by giving him or her a job. If she is qualified and has a first class or a second class, and you have a vacancy in your office, and your vacancy says you need an English graduate qualification 2-1 or 2-2, and a person with disability and a woman with disability comes with that qualification, why won't you give it to her? And then you interview her and she makes sense. Why wouldn't you give it to her? Why will you discriminate against her because of her disability? You know, we as a people are supposed to meet them at the because at the point of their needs. They are it's their right. Just like you and I will say, I have a right to shelter. They have a right to shelter. I have a right to education. I have a right to a job. So it's about empowering them to stand up for their rights, to speak up for their rights, and not to settle for anything less. It is not a favor. No one is doing anyone a favor.
Mm. We have Dr. Mrs. Josephine Effa, founder, director of Project ELACT on Violence Against Women. We also have Joy Ubong, the local government secretary, Joint National Association of Persons with Disability, joining us on the program on Sharing Life Issues Today, the special edition. Feel free to join us if you want to ask any question, or if you have a contribution, send your messages to our WhatsApp number 0906-030-8705. We'd love to take those beautiful calls. Call 0818-222-9105-0902-684-1059. Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Good to have you. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Go ahead, sir.
My name is Wisdom Edmund from Ikorodu.
Okay, sir.
Yeah, I want to talk on, because I visited the when Governor Bell on December, I was one of the photographers there. I visited one of that time that a governor to inform all the people to visit, to come to Ibom Plaza. In fact, if you see a dumb fight because they cheated him because of money that they give. And in fact, I see it dumb. So I don't think they should not joke with dumb people. Beat people up and down because of money. So they should know on how to share money so that disabled will not die on Sunday day.
All right. Okay, yes. Thank you. You want to?
I actually disagree with that, because this is what we are talking about. It's not about sharing money. Sharing money is institutionalizing poverty. It's actually institutionalizing and setting the foundation for poverty, because it's not about gathering persons with disability. Please, also, the language has to change. It's not about disabled people.
Okay.
The person before the disability, a woman with disability, a man with disability, you know. So you gather them and you throw 5,000 or 1,000. It's like you're throwing money to beggars, please. It's about finding out, okay, what is your qualification?
Let's just take this.
Yeah.
Hello, good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening, Mr.
Welcome, sir. Good to have you. Welcome, sir.
Good evening, madam.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, this is a call from you.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I really enjoy this conversation because it's something that has been bothering my mind, the way, you know, the passive approach that the government is using in attending to these people with disability, not just women alone, but they, you know, both male and female. Madam, all what you are saying is true, but this thing have you said, for me, my only fear is that they will only exist in principle, but in practical terms, you will realize that at the end of it, nothing will come out of it. It is very unfortunate that in a country like Nigeria and in a state like Akwa Ibom, you don't have a law, you know, that protects people that live with disabilities, and it is now that an NGO is even trying to push that to the State House of Assembly. For me, it is quite disheartening. But be that as it may, ma, I want to say that government should wake up, because I am also a witness to the fact that these people living with disability are oftentimes, you know, abused. And again, government don't have anything for them. You say somebody that will go to school that lives with disability and government out with a good certificate. Government should have plans for such people. And again, not for those set of people alone, those that went to school. They should have an empowerment scheme for all of them, so that if somebody doesn't have opportunity to go to school, there should be also a plan for such a person, you know, from government, that will make him to feel belonging to the society. Not a situation whereby already somebody is handicapped, and again, the person does not even know what will befall him or her the next day. The person does not even know where the next meal will come from. In fact, it is quite sad, man. So I want to say that apart from taking this thing to the House of Assembly, there should be also a clear-cut plan for adequate implementation, because that is where we are suffering. You know, after leaving House of Assembly, what next? This law will be there, but who will enforce it? Who will implement it? Now, let me tell you, don't be surprised that if somebody is abused, if somebody that lives with disability is abused, the woman I'm talking about, don't be surprised that if that person wants to take up that matter will be stifled, because at some point, somebody will say, bring money. Bring money. If you don't have money to pursue this case, that will be the end of the case. I am speaking from, you know, a point of experience. I live in a place whereby a certain man is fond of, you know, abusing some small girls. And sometimes the man was arrested because the grandma to these children did not have money to pursue this case. That was how that man came back. And I think with you, he's still roaming the street. Nothing came out of that. So I don't know how we will do it. I don't know how we do it, but I believe God will give you the strength to also pursue this thing to the point of implementation.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you, Anette.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to just quickly respond, and then maybe Joyce will also, yes, too. First and foremost, I want to correct here that the impression that we are taking it to the House of Assembly. No, the Deputy Speaker of the House, Honorable Florence Bassey, way back to 2019, when I first met her, she was already
working on
this,
okay,
with FIDA, Akwa Ibom. She was already working. So by the time we first had that meeting, and I was so excited, I said, well, that's good to know. So my brother the State House of Assembly had already been working, and they've actually passed the bill. They have done their bit, to be honest. Mm. They have passed the bill. They are waiting for the governor to assent to it, to put his signature on it, and by so doing, it becomes a law. And then when it becomes that, my brother, we can't give up, really. Yes, I know the challenges. I understand what you are saying. But we can't give up. For us, for some of us, giving up is not an option. Not as long as we are still breathing. Because if we are talking and things are like this, imagine if we are not saying anything, what it will be. Mm. So let's have that law. Once we have that law, that is step one. Then step two towards implementation is sensitization. You know, because you can't implement when you don't even know. So we need to, all hands must be on deck. Everybody must, this is not about anyone trying to make money of anything. It's in our interest for everybody to know what the law says, you know, so that when you know, then you can fight for your rights. But when you don't even know, how can you fight for it? So my brother, please don't give up. Yes, we know the issues, we know the challenges, you know, but we can't, honestly, we can't afford to give up. Because I tell people, disability can come to anybody, anytime, anywhere, you don't know it. It can come. We are just sitting here now, God forbid, this building, you know, or whatever. So we shouldn't look at it as, it is them, it is not me. No. I'm wearing glasses. If I remove these glasses, I can't read tiny letters. That's a form of disability. Hmm? As you age and get older, you may not be able to climb this staircase. Even the government officials, or like I told them today at the function, I said, look, except you're not praying to get old, you want to die young. But if you're praying to get old, there are some ailments that come with old age, which can render you disabled. How would you feel? Someone was sharing their experience of her father who worked for years, and then Iman was sick, was in a wheelchair, and they had to, because he was going for this pension verification, they had to carry the man. Carry him. Imagine such dehumanization. That's dehumanization from his wheelchair. But if there was a lift or they had it downstairs, they would just wheel him in and he would have his verification.
Or if you have an electronic
arrangement. Thank you. Arrangement.
You know, we live in a global world.
We live in a global world.
He can
world.
Stay in his house and do his and verification.
Exactly. Why must we torture ourselves? Why must we dehumanize ourselves? All in the bid to show what? You know, we need to stop this dehumanization of ourselves. We do that a lot. We need to stop it. Persons with disability are human beings. Nobody, you know, if you say, Masiyaka, it's not me. Then whose portion is it that you walk on the road, a car hits you and you have spinal injury? Whose portion is it that you acquire, you know? We need to be real about this and be committed and intentional about it.
I had to bring in this. Even in the Bible, Jesus saw a man who was at a beautiful gate.
Yeah.
And of course, he had disability, and Jesus didn't just walk past.
Yeah.
He asked him, why are you here?
Yeah.
How can I help you? The man didn't even recognize that was Jesus.
Yeah.
So he said, there's nobody to push me into the water. He said, rise up, take your bed, and go.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would like to respond first to the first speaker, the first caller. Okay, let me go to say this. That nobody prays for disability. Nobody prays for it. So there are so many circumstances that have predisposed one to it. Maybe the biological, could be societal, and all, name it. And then these had also pushed persons to acquiring disability. Now let me say also that the disability is not that man who has no sight or that woman who cannot hear. Or that girl who cannot walk. Rather, the disability is the societal barrier, is the environmental barrier, is the attitudinal barriers that we encounter. So what are we actually asking for? Simple. If a man is very tall and he's trying to reach out to something at his height, what do you do to the other person who is not as tall as him to get to same height? I guess you pick something and keep under, and then he climbs on it and does it, gets to reach it. So if at the end of all said and done, we find ourselves, like he said, people of disability went and the governor gave money. No, we are not beggars, for goodness heavens. We aren't asking for money. We aren't asking for charity. We've gone past that era of charity. We are asking for our rights. We are asking you to give us that booster that will unlock the ability in disability. Simple. All we seek for, okay, fine. Give us not a situation where, yes, we are in a society, we struggle to get into schools, and the teacher is teaching, and someone has hearing impairment, can't even hear what the teacher has to read the lips, and maybe get a note from someone who is not even copying right and reads, and then manages to write the exams and finishes. Now, the bottom line, okay, let's say, they have special education in quotes, right? Some persons will say, yeah, special school is there. You pack the persons with disability to special school. Agreed. And then they are in special school, they finish up in special school, and they come out into the society where every other person is and struggle for the same job, not a special job. Go into the same market where every other person is and buys things in, not a special market. So why do we have to need, why what's the need for the special in quotes? So why are we agitating for this bill to be ascended for? Because this is a booster. We aren't asking for charity. We've gone past that. We have the abilities. All we need is the level ground, that equal ground with other persons. And this law is the only thing that can give us that. Yes, I know some persons say, yes, we'll get the law. It's one thing at a time. We need the law first and foremost. You know, we've come to understand that a whole lot of society, people are wired in a very wonderful way, where if there is nothing enforcing discipline, most persons don't tend to think that, okay, let's be disciplined. So some persons need something to actually enhance their discipline. So it may be naturally that's how they adjust. And so we need this to checkmate the attitude of people. The attitudinal barriers, where you get to a place and maybe you are on a wheelchair or something, and some other person was maybe assisting you. Let's say you had an aid. Instead of the, let's say it was a health challenge or whatever, instead of the person to accost you and say, oh, how are you feeling, rather leaves you to talk to who you came with. That's an attitudinal barrier. And those are things we all, that a whole lot will go to address. That is why we are asking for this. Now, we are not begging. It's actually what we are supposed to have. We are not aliens, for goodness sake. Yes. If you look at the 1999 Constitution, there is no part of that Constitution that speaks in concern with persons with disability. Absolutely none. So, with time, the government, the federal government, found the need that, okay, it's pertinent to have a disability law. And so they passed it. About 10 states, the last time I checked, have also domesticated this. So if Akwa Ibom state, as we know, it's pertinent. We aren't begging, because nobody pressed for disability, like I've earlier said. It can come to anybody. So when it comes to you in the tail end of life, because if it doesn't happen to you in the journey of life, before life goes, except you are praying to die early, then you don't know, okay, fine, I've gone. My grandmom used to say, so what am I saying? In essence, you can't just sit down and say that some persons that just moved on the road, they were walking, they weren't even in a vehicle, and somewhere a vehicle came to hit them and it landed them in one disability or the other. So nobody prayed for it. All we need is a booster. We can't keep depending on government to give us peanuts, to dash money, to have people cluster like termites. No, that's not what we seek. We are asking, like the Nigerian, the federal government at 2007 ratified the UNCRPD and the optional protocol 2010. Fine, we have done that. Let's move past it and get to implement. Now, this is Akwa Ibom. The first time we had the bill read, three passed through the third reading, problem was still absent. Now, this is the second time. There's a whole lot going wrong already. If we have a law, it goes so much to address so so many issues. If you come across any person with disability, you will find out that there's so lot ability and potential in the person. All the person simply needs is that little booster, and that booster is the law. We aren't asking for anything else. We aren't aliens, so you can't limit us to human beings alone, because that's the only part where the 1999 Constitution speaks as human being. What about persons with disability? Let's draw the curtains down, because when you are saying human, is a whole lot, and we haven't even handled the whole lot. Narrow it down to persons with disability. Give focus to it. Give the booster to it. That's all we seek. And also to add to this, it is not a one man's language. It goes to address every one of us in our respective fields, in our churches, in our homes, in our day-to-day part of living. Those attitudinal barriers that we ourselves exude to the environment, towards persons with disability, needs also, from our own aspects, while we await the governor to assent this, personally, it should be a culture to every one of us.
Yeah.
No one prayed for disability. Let's always remember that. Yeah. Thank you.
0902-684-1059. Hello, good evening.
Sir, good evening.
Welcome, sir.
Well, I'm from here.
Go ahead, sir.
This case of a disability, people with disability, is very obvious in the Ministry of Youth and Sport. We are the state floor. And the Paralympians, we have to go up there whenever they have nothing with them or something. I think the most times they are going there with disability. Hold them up there. The way they build the cemetery business.
Hello?
I think he's made his point.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I think the point. The point he's making is calling attention to the Ministry of Youth and Sport and the fact that the Paralympians, that they have to go to the third floor. I think that's very unfair. It's part of what we are talking about. It's what we are talking about, that with that law coming into existence and talking about access.
So instead of being the meeting at third floor, you can be
ground floor.
Now.
Of course. Ground floor. Of course.
So you see, the thinking most times people would think, oh, are they saying that this law, are they saying that we should demolish this building and start with? No. No, we know that finances, we know that cost, a lot of costs will come in, but there are ways of circumventing or going around that. Like in schools,
yes,
you know, if you know that there's a particular class, if you admit a child with a disability and that child, the class is upstairs, bring that class down because of that one child. Bring that class down. So the Ministry of Youth and Sports should bring the office where the Paralympians have to
have
meetings or whatever, should break it down. It is only human, it is only right. You don't need a soothsayer to tell you that. That is what we are talking about.
You know, sometimes there is need for this emphasis. There is need for it, because let me take University of Rio for example. We have the Department of Special Education. So it's known there that about, let's say, 50, let me not limit it to 80%, but 50% of students there are persons that have one disability or the other. And then very funny how they have lectures at the Story Building. How does someone on a wheelchair get to attend lectures? How does a blind person attend lectures? So a whole lot of things. And this department is strictly known for, okay, mostly persons with disability are here. So the consideration is what we are talking about, the attitudinal barrier. Now this didn't go to say, okay, fine, they are looking for a law. Yes, we know we need assent. That is very pertinent, we need it, but first to your own person. That's why I said it appeals to every one of us, appeals to your emotions, to you as a person. How would you feel if you were asked to? Imagine the person having to struggle through the staircase going up. Is exhausted already.
Yeah.
What strength, or what, or already maybe the person was trying to go up and then fell off, and then the cloth opens. You've subjected that person to emotional, psychological defects. So there's no way the person would focus in whatever he or she went to go and achieve in class. And at the end of the day, come out and then doesn't perform very well in quotes. Who do you blame? So you see, we have a whole lot to address.
Let's take some reactions. 0902-684-1059-0818-222-9105. We still have Dr. Mrs. Josephine F. Chukuma, founder director of Project Elect on violence against women. And we also have Joy Obong, local government secretary, Joint National Association of Persons with Disabilities. Hello, good evening.
Hello.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. Welcome, Axel. Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening, guests in the house.
Good evening. Good evening, my sister.
Okay, this is Oberon. I'm calling from you.
Go ahead.
Welcome. Okay, please. I want to say something concerning these people. Please, I just want to suggest, let us not be calling them people with disability. They are not disabled. They are just differently abled people. Let us call them differently abled people, not people with disabilities. Some of them are very, very intelligent. Some of them are very smart. Let's stop calling them disabled. They are differently abled. And I want to beg the government of Akwa Ibom State to please help out in whatever way they can. The governor should accept the bill, and every other person, including me, should see how they can help those people. These people are not disabled. They are just differently abled.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, Doc, let's look at how you can carry, you look at the chiefs, you look at the elders, you know, let's talk about the church leaders, the imams, youth leaders, those who are the aim of affairs, talking about the educational institutions. How do you intend to carry them along in this sphere of things, looking at this, assuming the governor assents to this other one, we are now going towards implementation. And of course, attitudinal change. We're looking at advocacy, spreading the news across that. Look, if you are the head of this institution, try as much as you can to tell your people that these people are created by God also. So whatever we're doing, we need to put them into consideration.
Yeah, the plan is very simple. Once the governor assents to the bill and it becomes a law, like I said, massive sensitization horizontally and vertically, meaning anybody and everybody. And the starting point first would be simplifying that law, simplifying it, making it easy to read, and then translating it into the languages. And then, that is part of the discussions we had with the legislators, them also being involved in taking it to their constituencies. It's not enough for them to go to their constituencies alone when they want them to vote.
During election.
Vote for me, I'm here. My people, see what I've brought for you. This is what we have brought. We've not only passed it. This is what it is about. And if anybody does this to you, this is how you can go about it. This is how beautiful. That's the way. And this includes traditional. Going to constituency means going to traditional rulers there. Mm. Going to religious leaders, Christian and Muslims there. Going to schools, you know, private, public schools. Everybody, it must be so, it's massive, and all hands must be on deck, you know. It's not just about, yes, we talked about radio jingles, TV and whatever, but it's more about going into the interlands, the communities,
to evangelize.
Yes,
thank you very much. To evangelize, to give praise to the gospel according to disability law in a very easy to understand language. Even in Ibibio, in Anang, in all, any language, so that people will understand. This is that. Mm. This cannot be done to you. If this is done to you, this is what you can do.
We'll go for a short break. Thank but you. When we come back, I'll ask you, looking at bureaucratic bottlenecks, we know the climate where we live in, accessing justice. Assuming someone is, you know, defaults and then abuses a woman, you know, with disability, and the woman wants to access justice. In some cases, like the Anieti talked about, someone who abused someone, and because the woman didn't have money per se to go through the system, it became an issue.
Yeah.
Stronger institutions, of course, we've been advocating. Mm-hmm. Can these people just go to this institution that has been shown the law that if so-so person does so-so to so-so person, this is the penalty? And they'll say, bam, oh yeah, move to the next table without any barrier. We'll take that after this short break.
Thank you.
Dropping the hottest jams. Inspiration 105.9.
Prices of goods and services keep increasing on a daily in our locality. We at Inspiration 105.9 FM feel your pulse and have decided to bring some relief to you, our esteemed clients and potential customers, even as our rates have slightly increased. The Ember Month promo is here. Oh yes, the IFM's Ember Month promo is here. Pay for 3 slots of jingle, personal paid announcements and live interviews and get one absolutely free. For your programs and sponsorship, pay for 1/4 of 13 episodes and get 2 episodes absolutely free. Again, pay for 3 slots of jingle, personal paid announcements and live interviews and get 1 absolutely free. For your programs and sponsorship, pay for 1/4 of 13 episodes and get 2 episodes absolutely free. Take advantage of this Ember Month promo. Come to our office at Ogit House, opposite Secretariat Annex, Odoma Avenue, Uyo. For more inquiries, please call 0708-004-4448 or 0803-486-1029. The IFM's Ember Month promo is on starting from 1st October 2021. Terms and conditions apply.
Milo! I greet you. I beg, I won't buy 2 sachets of Milo.
Okay, oh. But you sure say you don't want to try something else?
This something else where you talk so. It gets active go.
Eh? Active waiting.
Active go, now that mix we get proto malt, minerals, plus vitamins.
Eh? Proto waiting.
Make you no worry. Just give me my Milo. Because as it be so, things what they buy for my pikin them. I know they joke with Amo.
Make you give your pikin them ogbonge energy. Milo Active Go with the goodness of malt, milk and cocoa. We go help your pikin them to stay active every day. Milo, energy to feed do more.
But don't you find that? When you talk about find out the remedy, they learn from where we did. Because to find the easy for me. I wonder that this will be say easy way for me. Now linking my NIN to my glow line. Don't tell me, play. I feel just first to pick up my phone. Go use the USSD code by dialing *109* my NIN hash. Quickly, I go just text my NIN to 109. I feel just visit glowworld.com/NIN on top my super fast internet. If I come the area where we say Glow World near me, let just walk and enter. And if you don't forget your NIN, that *346#, you don't get them back. So people there, they call the ask question. Hey, we don't call register for NIN. Don't worry yourself. Just walk and enter any nearest Glow World. No let them disconnect you from all the amazing voice and data offers where they inside Glow. Linking your NIN, that's safe. And it's 100% free with zero wahala.
Glow, grandmasters of data.
Mama Put, I feel feverish. I am sure it is malaria again.
Who told you that every fever is malaria? You have to do a malaria test at the health center to be sure.
Me, I know it is malaria because the way I'm feeling now is how I feel whenever I have it. Blood tests are just a waste of time.
Madam Joyo, sorry to keep you waiting.
No problem at all, Auntie Tilo.
Pam, let me take your measurement.
Which measurement? Is it not a waste of time for her to take measurement for every new customer? I am sure she can just look at you very well and sew a dress that will fit perfectly.
That's not possible, though. The dress will not fit nicely.
Who does that?
The same people that conclude they have malaria without doing tests.
Sense, Mama. I receive sense, so I could do them correct now. Tilo, take my measurement so I can go for that malaria test now.
Receive sense, so do them correct.
Fever can turn serious if you don't seek care quickly, especially for children under 5. Test first and complete the treatment accordingly. This message is brought to you by the Federal Ministry of Health and the American people.
We are rocking you all the way, every day of the week, right here, 105.9 FM.
Join in on our revolutionary daily counseling show, Sharing Life Issues, weekdays 7 to 8 p.m., only on Inspiration 105.9.
Welcome back. We had Project Alert in the studio this evening. Dr. Josephine is the founder and director of Project Alert on Violence Against Women. Of course, we've talked a whole lot. We also have Joy Ubong, local government secretary, Joint National Association of Persons with Disabilities. We have just a few minutes to go on the conversation. So I talked about bureaucratic bottlenecks. Okay. Bill is passed, assented to. We've sensitized all the relevant stakeholders, including the security agencies. Leaders of thought have gone to their respective institutions to preach the gospel that, hey, this law exists. Don't misbehave. When you see these people, you need to help them. We also need to create avenues. If we want to do meetings, instead of doing this upstairs, we'll do it downstairs, except in certain climes where structurally, yeah, when they are, you know, constructing building, a building, they design it in such a way that it is friendly,
yes,
with,
yes,
this set, it's of people that are, yes, also created by, you know, God.
Yeah.
The institutions now, for women with disabilities to access justice, if anyone messes up with them.
Well, it's the same criminal justice system that they have to face, in the sense that it's the police. When rights have been infringed upon, when violence has occurred, when abuse has taken place, you need to report to the police. The difference is how sensitive, how trained are the police on the issue of persons with disability. The sensitivity, the training, and the capacity to respond is what is key here. So that is why it's important that as we await the governor to assent, once he does that and sensitization starts, part of the people that needs to be sensitized are the police. In fact, it's the police, the triangular thing, the community up there, the police to the left side of the triangle, and the judiciary to the right side. Because when an abuse happens there, and the sensitized community report it to the police, the police should be able to take action, and
without wasting time.
Without wasting time, and then if need be, charge it to court with a sensitized and knowledgeable judge and magistrate, you know, who knows that, oh, this is what the law says. The beauty about the disability bill, if once passed, is that it makes provision for the setting up of an agency, a board, a kind of disability agency,
commission
that would overlook the affairs of persons with disability. So if you can't immediately access the police, you should be able to access the commission to report that I'm a person with disability, and this is what happened to me. You understand? And they in turn should be able to take up your case on your behalf.
Dr. Josephine, we're out of time. Do you have numbers that people can call?
Readily I don't know, but FIDA is our partner here in Akwa Ibom State, so it would be nice to get in touch with FIDA. We are going to give you their numbers, please, so that you could...
Okay, you can you do it now?
If you can give me a minute.
We have just... okay, so we can rush up.
Okay.
Okay,
yes, we have a number here. 070-111-111-71110. That's 111-71110. Again, 070-111-71110. It's FIDA, Akwa Ibom State. That number, I mean, once they're able to get to this number, they should be able to give further referrals or advice on what to do. 070-111-71110. It's a customized number. 111. So 070-111-71110.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mrs. Josephine Efas Chukwuma, Founder Director of Project ELACT on Violence Against Women. We also had Joy Ubong, Local Government Secretary, Joint National Association of Persons with Disabilities. Thank you so much for coming on the program. We do appreciate you.
Thank you.
For everyone that has been a part of the conversation, we do appreciate you also. Keep listening to Inspiration 105.9 FM. Good evening.